just for women. Listen to Mrs. Waite speak from her heart to your need. Pause a moment and care. Just for Women is an unusual broadcast for women in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Yvonne Waite deals biblically with the many issues facing women today. The Bible tells the older women to speak the things which become sound doctrine, and teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the Word of God be not blasphemed. Listen now to Mrs. Waite speaking just for women.
Hello again. How are you this morning? Or is it afternoon where you are? I don't know. I enjoy coming into your homes, into your car, into your life. I wish you'd all write to me and tell me what you think of the program. I have a burden for you. You're my friend. You know, in this world, we need friendship. There's so few friends in this world, and I need you, and you need me. But most of all, we need the Lord Jesus Christ. If you are not born again, you're missing the best friend, the friend that will stick closer to you than any brother or sister or even a mother or father. Oftentimes, we're all by ourselves except for the Lord. Now, remember, we're reading from this book that I wrote called Marriage Defrauding and Other Matters, Especially for Women. Be sure to order yours. I'll give it to you for nothing. If you want to help pay the postage, you can. It's 55 cents. It's all written, and I can put it in a business-size envelope and send it to you right away. Our address is 900 Park Avenue, P-A-R-K Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey, 08108. Or ask, call our 800 number. It's 1-800-JOHN-10-9. And ask for this booklet called Marriage Defrauding and Other Matters by Yvonne S. Waite. Now, you have to define which book you want, because we have over 3,000 things. And so if you just say, hey, send me the booklet, we won't know what you're talking about. Now, let's see. Let's look at the scripture verse that I've been talking about. Isaiah 45:2, I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. This is a good verse for us to think about and meditate upon and trust God's promise. Now we're on page 26. Needed wise old women. And you know, I guess I'm one of the old women. I don't know if I'm aged yet, and I don't know if I'm like the ones that talked about well stricken in years, but I'm one of the older women. I can't say it's a great thing or not a great thing, but I'm here, and I'm here in your life to help you. Titus 2, 3 to 5, and Titus 1, 1 and 4 are the verses under this heading, Needed Wise Old Women. Titus 1, 1 and 4 says, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to Titus, mine own son, after the common faith. Now, this is in here because we women have sons and daughters, and sometimes we have sons and daughters after the common faith. We have led them to the Lord, or they have looked upon us as spiritual mothers. A girl came to us the other day with her husband. They're from Korea, and every time they come back to this country, which is a couple times a year because her mother lives here and he's taking graduate work, and he has a good enough job that can bring him back and forth to the United States from South Korea. And she said to me the other day, Mrs. Waite, I want to be just like you. And I'll tell you, that was extremely humbling and frightening. And I said, oh, Haney, you don't want to be just like me. You want to be like the Lord. She says, I want to be like you. And it's very scary, to be truthful, because I know what I'm like, just like you know what you're like. But we do want to be like Jesus and have people see Jesus in us. Because even the Apostle Paul said that he was an example. Now let's get on with our reading. I have a tendency to chatter on. Older women as examples. Notice how wise older women in Titus 2:3 were to teach by their behavior. I want to read that to you right here from my Bible, Titus 2:3. And you probably recognize this. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. All right, we hear this often at the beginning of our program, don't you? And my husband does the lead into the program, and he uses that verse. So we see that the woman, the older women, were to be teach by their behavior. What a responsibility. Someone said to me, I want to be a Bible teacher like you. And I said, I am not a Bible teacher. I'm just a woman who talks. I've forgotten most of the scripture that I knew. So I don't consider myself at all to be a Bible teacher. I just consider myself to be one of the older women, and I want to teach by my behavior. What a responsibility. These older women were to be clothed in proper conduct. They were to act in a way that would become holiness. From such teaching, the younger, inexperienced Christian women were to watch and heed the older women's example living. From this life teaching, the young women would learn how they too should love their husbands and to love their children. Titus 2:4. What an assignment. Women should counsel women. Recently, I've been impressed with the need for Bible-believing churches to look again at Paul's directive to Paul, Pastor Titus, for his church in Crete concerning men. Paul directed Titus about men and women. Concerning men, even ordained ministers counseling women. I am sure that Titus had been trained well by Paul, his spiritual father, Titus 1:4. I have no doubt of it. Who would want the apostle born out of due time as his personal tutor? 1 Corinthians 15:8. Well, all of us would have liked that. Of course, we have the Word of God, which the Holy Spirit used Paul to write, and so we do have him as our personal tutor by paper. But Paul did not say to the young minister, let the young pastors or the ages pastors or the ones in between teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, etc. He said, quote, the aged women likewise, like the aged men who speak things which become sound doctrine, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Titus 2:3-5. The whole thing is we want to walk in a holy way, all women, so that God's word won't be made a sham to the outside believer. In other words, the seasoned Christian woman, the women were to teach the inexperienced believing women, married or not, as well as the unbelieving women, how to live, how to love, how to be obedient to their own husbands. That's to be obedient to their own, capital O, capital W, capital N, husband. Not someone else's. How to dress, how to protect their homes from being beguiling women coming into them, with the ensuing result that the word of God would not be blasphemed or profaned. This was a woman-to-woman job. Sad to say, some younger women show little respect for the older Christian woman in their midst. This respect must be both taught and practiced by parents as well as church leaders. In other words, if we do not have respect for the older woman, you and I, and the older men, the people that watch us will not have respect either. Our children, our grandchildren, they will not have respect for the older people. Now, here I might be meddling a little bit, but the practice of first naming adults who are old enough to be one's mother or father or grandmother or grandfather should be guarded, all for some good old-fashioned protocol. That I see that all the time. I hear it all the time. People young enough to be my children call me by my first name without ever asking permission. When I was younger, I was taught not to call someone old enough to be my mother or maybe even my aunt by their first name unless they asked me to. A proper decorum between a pastor and his female parishioners will result in a pure, holy testimony within the church and in the community. Right counseling, right results. If a pastor assigns a godly, aged woman to hear a younger woman's life's problem or even to answer her innocent Bible questions, there can be no possible bad results from such counseling unless there are lesbian tendencies, and that's not the subject of this discussion. No impious irreverence or blatant blasphemy of the Word of God would be found with such women-to-women confidences and conversation. Let me quote briefly a letter to the editor found in the June 1996 Psycho-Heresy Awareness Letter, and it expresses this very well. Listen, quote, a woman meeting in private over an extended period of time with a man who is not her husband about intimate personal matters is bound to form some type of emotional bonding with that individual as she shares intimate details of her life. This sort of bonding between a man and a woman who are not married is improper and has been the foundation of many sinful acts, including adultery, of thought as well as physical adultery. I have been told by couples who have had ministry of counseling women that they found that sometimes women were resistant to being counseled by the wife. Often they resented the presence of the wife alongside her husband. These couples believe that this resistance was because the counselee's attempt to gain sympathy or to manipulate the counselor emotionally were completely lost on the wife, who often had a great deal of discernment into the true nature of the problem. Rotten bone dames. Even as I pen these words, I think of older women who are far from examples of good things, as well as many younger women. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness to his bones. Proverbs 12:4. These rotten bone dames are tainted with the world's tinsel. They have tottered on the brink of covetousness and adulteries, as well as thievery and idolatry. They have teased God. If God can be teased by pretending to love him, they have tarnished their souls, deceiving their own selves. They have tormented their spirits with earth's baubles. They have tasted of the devil's dregs and have gone back for more. Some of these pathetic people perfume themselves with church-going and Bible-quoting. They pacify their souls and stupefy their consciousness. These sad women are not streetwalkers. They may be professional and upstanding citizens in their community. They are not derelicts or bag ladies. They are often well-dressed in fine clothes with rings on every finger. They pretend to be what they are not, but they fool no one but themselves. Beware lest we become one of them. I'm under God's care. Are you? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Trust him today. Trust him today. Turn your life and your marriage over to Jesus.
You have been listening to Just for Women with Yvonne Waite, sponsored by the Bible for Today Baptist Church in Collingswood, New Jersey. We invite you to visit our church Sundays 10 a.m. and 1:30 p.m. and Thursdays at 8 p.m. If you need more information about our church, our broadcast, or our Savior, please call us toll-free, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. The organist and pianist is Mr. Dick Carroll. Your announcer has been Dr. D.A. Waite, pastor of the Bible for Today Baptist Church. We invite all you ladies to join us for our next broadcast, heard twice weekly over this same station, and hear Yvonne Waite and Just for Women. Listen to Mrs. Waite speak from her heart to your need. Pause a moment and care. Just for Women is an unusual broadcast for women in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Yvonne Waite deals biblically with the many issues facing women today. The Bible tells the older women to speak the things which become sound doctrine, and teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Listen now to Mrs. Waite speaking Just for Women.
Hi there, I want to ask you a personal question. I hope you don't mind. But I want to ask you, Did you complete your Bible reading last year?
Did you?
I told you it'd be an embarrassing question. Did you need to order our yearly Bible reading schedules in action? Just order one and ask us for one. Now, I realize that it isn't the 1st of January, it's into February, but you still have time. Maybe you haven't read your Bible because, well, I don't know. What is your reason that you haven't read your Bible through? Maybe it's because I'm getting older, but I become a wee bit impatient with folks that say they are born-again Christians and who love the Lord Jesus Christ and the Word of God, but have never read the Bible through in their lives. I'm not talking about reading it just once a year. I'm talking about reading it at all. Some amen with the loudest voices in church and talk a big game, but cannot give 10 or 15 minutes of their time daily to the reading of the Book of Books. A Bible reading determination, and that is what it is not a Bible study program. Let's get that clear. That is where people get all mixed up about it. A Bible reading schedule and a Bible reading program and a Bible reading determination means that I am going to read and read and read. If you don't understand the Bible that you're reading, the passage, in time you will. Not this year, but maybe the next year or the next. And if you have a pastor who is a pastor teacher, as he should be, he will eventually get to that portion of the Bible that you don't understand, and he'll teach you about it. And if he doesn't, shame on him. Of course, if you have a pastor who rants and raves about one subject or another every week, he'll never get to that problem in Leviticus or 2 Chronicles. Or if you have a pastor that only talks about certain things, certain hobby things, you'll never discover the answer to your questions in Obadiah or Revelation. So I suggest that you dig into the Scriptures yourself, but not during the Bible Reading Determination Program. You dig into the Scriptures at another time and get a good dictionary and a Strong's Concordance. Now, I just want to encourage you to read your Bible. Read your Bible so at the end of the year you can say, I've read it. Now, you're not that far behind that you can't get it finished in a year. You just have to double up. Maybe read in the morning and the evening, or read two times or one and a half passages. Now, you're welcome to have a Bible reading schedule if you call us and ask for the yearly Bible reading schedule that my husband, Dr. Waite, Pastor Waite, made up years ago when he was in college. His pastor, our pastor, Pastor Willett, said, let's read our Bible in a year. And he thought, how can I read my Bible in a year? And he came up with this 85 verses per day, and it really isn't very much if you determine you're going to do it. Okay, now, let's get on with our thing that we're reading. It's called Marriage Defrauding and Other Matters, Especially for Women. Now we're on page 29, The Need for More Paper Dolls. Romans 8:29. I think I'll read these scripture verses to you, so I have to sort of find them as I go through them. I started to look them up and then got waylaid. Let's see, 29 says, Romans 8:29, for whom, you know this verse, comes after Romans 8:28, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Conformed to the image of his Son. Remember, the title of this section is The Need for More Paper Dolls. Now let's look over to Romans 13:14. And you can hear my pages going. 13:14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision. A young man that I know said that he has rededicated his life, that he's cleansed, and he had sins in his life. And some of them he said he wasn't giving up, which I couldn't figure out. But I said to him, the part of you that you feed will grow. And if you truly want to be different and dedicated to the Lord, feed your spiritual life. Feed yourself, the spiritual self. But if you aren't in earnest about it, you will feed your carnal, your worldly, your fleshy self, and that self will grow. And he has been feeding his worldly self and has been forgetting his spiritual self. Some things we have to die to, and one of the things is we have to die to ourself. And some people have filled their life up with fleshly lusts, which war against our soul. Now, 1 Peter 2:21 is one of the verses. And now, let's see, 1 Peter 2:21. Who by him do believe in God that raised him? Do I have the right place? No, excuse me. You can tell I'm sort of just working around here. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. So here's a need for more paper dolls. We're supposed to follow Christ's steps. And as we talked about last week, we who know Jesus Christ should be an example to the believers. What kind of old lady do you want to be? Well, if you want to be a godly old lady, you better start when you're younger, because you just can't overnight become godly. No, you must feed the spiritual flesh, the new nature inside of you, or you cannot have the hope of being godly at all. Now we have 2 Timothy 2:21-22. If a man or woman therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. See, there it is again. Flee youthful lust, but follow righteousness. You say, well, I'm old now. I'm not a youth. I'm not a youthful woman. I'm older. I have arthritis, and I'm on heart medicine, etc., etc. But do you know these youthful lusts can stay with us all our lives? We are not immune to those lusts that captured and wanted us when we were younger. So we must flee them, and we must follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Now let's see where we were. We did that one. That's, 1 Corinthians 10:13. I'll have to find that. You'll hear the pages rustling, and I'm afraid I'm going to waste my time and not get into my book. That's what I'm always doing. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you. That means a testing, a trial, but such is as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. There is a way of escape for every temptation for the Christian, but you have to look for it and take it. If Abraham had not seen the ram caught in the thicket and taken it, he would have slain his own son. Some woman that I know that was caught in an adulterous heart relationship, heart adultery, and was caught in a compromising position with someone said, "Oh, I didn't think I would fall. I thought God would keep me from falling." Oh, my dear person, if you jump out the window, you're going to fall. You're going to fall. Yes, you are. And God's not going to reach down and stop you from falling. So you must find the way of escape. Now, Galatians 6:7. Let's see, where did Galatians go? This is something else again, isn't it? Galatians, Ephesians. Here's Ephesians. Let's tap over to Galatians. I would never win in a sword drill. Galatians 6:7. Now, where is it? Here it is. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that he shall also reap. And whatsoever a woman soweth, she shall reap. If you sow evil, you will get evil fruit. And I implore you not to sow evil. Now, I think we better hurry on. I'll look up this other verse later. So put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, that ye may not fulfill the lust thereof. And the provision, make no provision for the flesh. That's sort of an ad-lib verse. Romans 13:14. I maintain that the time for us Christians to become the potential teacher of good things is in our youth. Yes, our girlhood and our young womanhood is our personal workshop period. Though hard it may be, it is the beginning of being conformed to the image of God's Son. Romans 8:29. This carving or conforming of our lives cannot be ours if we avoid all conflict and run away from responsibility. It is in those training years that we learn what God can do with us and for us. Peter says that Christ suffered for us and that he left us an example or a pattern that we should follow. 1 Peter 2:21. But we are to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember I read you that verse? Conforming to Christ's image. The Lord Jesus wants to stamp his image on us. We should be like the little girl who traces her paper dolls on a blank sheet of paper. Soon she has an exact image of the paper doll on her page. In so clothing ourselves, God, the Holy Spirit, carve and chisel at our precious lives to conform them to his image. He is our pattern. He is our example. A veteran pilot does not become so by staying away from airplanes. My husband and I fly often. It comforts me to see an experienced, mature man at the controls of a huge commercial plane. Nor does a skilled surgeon become an expert by avoiding surgery. As we contemplate an operation, we ask our surgeons about his experience. If we are not satisfied, we find another surgeon. Sin leaves its mark. We women cannot be meet for the Master's use, 2 Timothy 2:21, in our old age if we have defects from youthful lust, common temptations, and stolen garments hidden under the tents, Joshua 7:19-26. Whatsoever we sow, we must reap, and whatsoever we reap, we have sown, Galatians 6:7-8. It is a scriptural principle. Sin can be forgiven, and it is, but the marks of sin often stay. I say to you, young woman as well as older woman, and to myself, let us take heed that we do not stumble over the pride of life, or fall into sexual sins provoked by the lust of our flesh, or that we let not the lust of our eyes follow our hearts into sorrow of night. 1 John 2:15-16. Meditate on this. She that doeth the will of God abideth forever. 1 John 2:17. She shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the Master's use. 2 Timothy 2:21. Oh, dear heart, dear woman, I implore you to forsake the sin that you're in right now. That sin, that your besetting sin that keeps you from being like Jesus and from being a good example. I'm under his care. Are you?
You have been listening to Just for Women with Yvonne Waite, sponsored by the Bible for Today Baptist Church in Collingswood, New Jersey. We invite you to visit our church Sundays 10 a.m. and 1:30 p.m. and Thursdays at 8 p.m. If you need more information about our church, our broadcast, or our Savior, please call us toll-free 1-800-JOHN-10-9. The organist and pianist is Mr. Dick Carroll. Your announcer has been Dr. D.A. Waite, pastor of the Bible for Today Baptist Church. We invite all you ladies to join us for our next broadcast, heard twice weekly over this same station, and hear Yvonne Waite and Just for Women. Listen to Mrs. Waite speak from her heart to your need. Pause a moment and care. Just for Women is an unusual broadcast for women in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Yvonne Waite deals biblically with the many issues facing women today. The Bible tells the older women to speak the things which become sound doctrine, and teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Listen now to Mrs. Waite speaking Just for Women.
I know the coldness of my heart. I know how far I've gone astray. I've let the cares of life come in and draw my tired heart away. Oh, draw me back and hold me close and turn me back unto thy way. Revive my heart, renew my faith today. I grow so weary in the race. I grow so tired in the fray. I've let the things of life come in and take my joy and peace away. Oh, draw me back and hold me close and turn me back unto thy way. Revive my heart, renew my faith today. Hi, that was a poem by my mother, Gertrude Sanborn. She's been with the Lord for 12 years, but I have her poetry, and I have all the good teaching that she's taught me in my life and heart and soul. I want to sing something for you, which I sang, when we began our church a couple years ago here at 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. I hope you come visit us sometime. The recording didn't start right out when I did, but you'll get the gist of the song. It's "He Washed My Eyes with Tears That I Might See." Jesus Christ sometimes does have to wash our eyes with tears, figuratively speaking, that we will see. Sometimes we are so blinded by our own self-will, our own plans, what we think is right, but not necessarily scriptural, that God has to spank us, doesn't He? And it doesn't always hurt, but when the spanking's done, we can see. Only thing is that sometimes I'm thinking of someone now who was in a fire and completely so ill, almost died from burns, and I thought for sure all that punishment would bring him closer to the Lord. And for a brief while, we saw some spiritual growth, and then he went back into the world. So we don't always learn from the whippings that God gives us. Now, let's talk about a prayer request that I had asked you to pray for back a few broadcasts ago. I just want to diverge a little bit from the marriage defrauding so I can tell you about Elizabeth, because many of you have been praying for our 17-year-old granddaughter, Elizabeth Waite. Many of you have been, and we're thankful for it. People all over the world have told us they're praying. I forgot to tell you that we had one from the Ukraine, and just the other day, someone from South Africa. And all over this country, they're praying, and we've tried to keep them updated by email and by our Bible for Today update that I write. And I'm reading from the January Bible for Today update right now. Many of you have been praying for our 17-year-old granddaughter who was in a serious automobile accident on December 10th of last year, 2000. Without warning, our dear Elizabeth, who is the oldest daughter of D.A. Waite Jr., the footnote author and editor of the Defined King James Bible, was critically wounded. She has endured many surgeries, including the removal of her spleen, 24-plus units of blood, and a near-fatal lung syndrome called ARDS, as well as brain swelling complications. At this first of the year writing, we are praising God that the acute respiratory distress syndrome, ARDS, has passed, leaving her left lung in a delicate condition but functioning. The tracheal tube has been removed. She is breathing on her own. She can talk in a whisper and write notes. Her mental condition is alert. She can carefully walk to the restroom, has begun eating, only weighed 95 pounds at the end of this ordeal, and has no memory of her life from Thanksgiving to this writing. And her father told me she doesn't even remember back during the Halloween part of the calendar. She knows people and remembers all of the phone numbers of her family and friends, and her nurses say she is a miracle. And as I wrote this, as I was getting ready to put it to print, our son called and said, "Guess what? Elizabeth is coming home." So she came home very soon after all these things, the tubes were removed, and when they decided her mental condition was good enough for her to come home. Since writing the above, Elizabeth has returned home and will take physical, occupational, neurological, and speech therapy as an outpatient from a local hospital. Thank you for caring and praying for our granddaughter. You have no idea what a comfort you have been to my husband and me personally, as well to Elizabeth's parents. Perhaps you did not know, but others were in the car accident with Elizabeth. Others were bruised and confused by the crash. One was Elizabeth's sister, our other granddaughter of Don Jr.'s family, Rebecca, 15. It is difficult to imagine her fear as the jaws of life cut away the crashed car from her body, releasing her to the paramedics' care. She told us she kept passing out. She'd be awake for a minute and then pass out, be awake and pass out. Praise God, our Rebecca was released from the hospital before the evening was over. God was good to spare her. He has his ways. May all this suffering and anguish bear the peaceable fruits of righteousness in Elizabeth's life and soul, is our prayer. Our Heavenly Father continually teaches us his lessons. Some of us are very slow learners. Then I want to tell you about our new Gospel of John Bible study at our church at 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. Our church is held in our home, you know. I told you how we took all the furniture out of the living room. We have a big house. We have a grand piano in there, and we have our church and Bible study in there. So I hope you come sometime to the 1:30 Sunday p.m. Bible study. It's a joy to us. We are excited to have a new service in our church. As you may remember, our morning church service is from 10 a.m. until 11:30 a.m. During this time, we not only have expository messages from the Word of God by our pastor, but we sing favorite hymns and gospel songs led by Mr. Dick Carroll accompanying us on our baby grand Baldwin piano. I wish that you could join us by video or come personally to contribute to the discussion. It is a blessing. I try very hard to video all of us as we participate and focus often on Pastor Waite as he directs our thoughts into this gospel that tells us of the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Feel free to order these discussions if you would like. Just call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9 and ask us how you can order them. It will whet your appetite to look into God's Word for yourself. Now I want to tell you a little bit more, as long as I'm reading from the update. I want to tell you a little bit about when I was a child, a young teenage girl and in Bible school, I used to hear much expository preaching, and it is a wonderful thing. I have sat under Bible teachers in the pre-psychological preaching days like Harry Ironside at Chicago's Moody Memorial Church. It was a huge church packed with people where my soul was thrilled to the toes with his simple expository preaching. Ignorance of the Word of God was impossible for the listening Christian. And other men have been an example to my husband and me in the early days for such delivery as that of Lewis Berry Schaefer, my husband's teacher, as well as J. Vernon McGee, while my husband was at Dallas Theological Seminary, the old Dallas, before the current pro-razzle-dazzle delivery was popularized. Weekly Why at the University of Michigan. Dr. Wade is a newborn Christian, sat at the feet of Dr. M.R. DeHaan. He was a medical doctor, you know. At their Friday night Detroit Bible classes, Dr. DeHaan was teaching the book of Hebrews. Then another was evangelist Oliver B. Green, who could preach topically and textually as well as presenting excellent expository messages. My father enjoyed his expository preaching so much that he purchased all of Green's books. So it hurts me sometimes when some people say, I don't like expository preaching. I would rather have topical. And if it hurts me to have people say that because they do not realize that they are just on baby food. And we need more than baby food, you know. We need to be right, the Word of God, rightly divided. We really need that. So consider listening to some expository preaching someday. I'm in God's care. Are you?
You have been listening to Just for Women with Yvonne Waite, sponsored by the Bible for Today Baptist Church in Collingswood, New Jersey. We invite you to visit our church Sundays, 10 a.m. and 1:30 p.m., and Thursdays at 8 p.m. If you need more information about our church, our broadcast, or our Savior, please call us toll-free, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. The organist and pianist is Mr. Dick Carroll. Your announcer has been Dr. D.A. Waite, pastor of the Bible for Today Baptist Church. We invite all you ladies to join us for our next broadcast, heard twice weekly over this same station, and hear Yvonne Waite and Just for Women. Listen to Mrs. Waite speak from her heart to your need. Pause a moment and care. Just for Women is an unusual broadcast for women in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Yvonne Waite deals biblically with the many issues facing women today. The Bible tells the older women to speak the things which become sound doctrine and teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the Word of God be not blasphemed. Listen now to Mrs. Waite speaking Just for Women.
When sore distress.
that ever grew. Jesus Rose of Sharon, fair and pure. He's my joy and comfort, blessed friend, so true. He blooms within my says in Isaiah 45:2, I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I hope you like that song that I just sang, because it tells about the hiding place that we as Christian women can run to. Of course, if you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, then you have no place to hide. But if you do know Him, you can find a hiding place in Jesus Christ. And you find the Lord Jesus Christ through the Word of God. Now I'm continuing reading Marriage Defrauding and Other Matters, especially for women. And you can get this. Remember I told you you can get this one? Just call our 800 number, 1-800-JOHN-10-9, and tell them you want this little booklet. It's 41, 42 pages, and it fits in a business-size envelope. It'd be nice if you could help with the postage, but if you can't, I will understand. Now, this Keepers of Home is, the first part of it is women working where? Titus 2:5. To be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. That's what I, as an older woman, am trying to do to teach you to be discreet. To be a keeper at home, to be chaste, to obedient to your own husband, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Are two salaries necessary? Why is it that when so many Christian women, mothers and wives, why is it when they seem to have needs, they go to work and they do not stay home with their children? The truth is that these women are not primarily homemakers, Titus 2:5, and husband-loving lovers, Titus 2:4. Whether we like it or not, the Bible does teach a woman to keep or guard her own home, not someone else's home, and to love her own husband, not someone else's husband. Now I realize I've hit a buzzsaw here. Many a wife has put her husband through seminary or medical school, and I admire them. I tried to do this myself, but I had babies. God did not want me to be a support of the family. Many a non-mothered, married woman have worked, giving their salaries to buy houses before starting families while they and their husbands lived on the men's salary. I know my own daughter, before she had children, worked and saved her money, and they lived on our son-in-law's money, and they were able to buy a house this way. And I believe that's what my son and my daughter-in-law did, too. What stamina and determination. Many a preacher's wife have brought home the bacon so the man could plant a church. The wives do this as a part of their helpmeet responsibilities to their husbands. Sometimes when there are such arrangements, we may find latchkey children. Sad indeed. I remember when we were in seminary, different women did this. Then they wanted to start a family, and they couldn't. We may also find wives who have something sometimes become so successful in business that they cannot give up that power and success recognition. They cannot give up the finer things that such money affords. Their away-from-home job defines them, not their husband-loving or their children-loving or home-guarding jobs, it seems. Often I hear women asked by others, "What do you do?" The expected answer is not, "I am a mother, I am a wife." Yet in my mother's day, that was the standard answer for a married woman. It is something to think about, isn't it? Excuse me. Often I overhear women saying, I have to work to help my children go to Christian school or to Bible college. But I've noticed mostly when the schooling is over, those highly motivated women continue working, continue supplementing their husbands' incomes, and continue setting their hearts in the wrong direction toward the wrong people. 1 Peter 3, 5c. Tired of the feminist detour, recently I received a letter from a publishing house about a book. It caught my eye, for it was titled Coming Home to Raise Your Children, A Survival Guide for Moms. This advertisement confirms other accounts I've been reading about how women are coming home. They are tired of the feminist detour which kept them out of the house, exhausted and often divorced. Now I must confess I know nothing about the author, Christine Morley Field. I don't know what theological camp she is in, or what Bible verse she uses. But I like the title of her book, don't you? Coming Home to Raise Your Children, The Survival Guide for Moms. The advertising blurb said the following, quote, nearly 50% of mothers and preschoolers are stay-at-home moms, and many of those left careers to come home and raise their children, end of quote. A young mother whom I met while my husband was preaching at a Bible conference in another part of our country wrote recently, quote, thank you so much for the boost of encouragement you wrote in your August newsletter. Mothers at home can be such a touchy topic. It's too bad people can't trust God and obey His commands. That is such a frustration for me. I could probably name, on one hand, the women in our church who stay at home. Usually the excuse is they need the income, but what they don't realize is how much more they spend because of mom working outside of the home. Did Mary have an outside job? Let me ask you a question. See, Luke 1:38 says, and Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. This section is called According to Thy Word. Let me ask you a question. It's about Mary of Nazareth. What did that terrified girl say when she realized she was chosen to be the mother of the Son of God? Did she run to the telephone book for the current listing of nursery schools? Did she call Joseph's mother to see if she would babysit that holy thing, Luke 1:35? While she worked at the marketplace or assisted at the local library? Did she make arrangements with Cousin Elizabeth to care for Jesus? Did she reason, Elizabeth has to stay home anyhow, and it isn't that much work to care for two? I don't think so. We read that Mary, after affirming to herself and to the angel her virginity, yielded her body to God for motherhood, presenting it as a living sacrifice unto Him, Romans 12:1. She said, be it unto me according to thy word, Luke 1:38b. With that declaration, the angel departed as unexpectedly as he appeared. Therefore, we see Mary not only unexpectedly, not only alone and puzzled, but also yielded and transformed to the perfect will of God, Romans 12:2. Dr. Henry Aaron Ironside, one of my teachers, wrote concerning Mary, quote, when he, God, chose a young woman for the high honor of becoming the mother of the Savior, he did not take some frivolous worldly girl living in carelessness and enjoying a butterfly existence. He chose a pious, lovely young woman who delighted in doing the will of God and ever sought to be the subject of His word, end of quote. I'm under God's care. Are you?
You have been listening to Just for Women with Yvonne Waite, sponsored by the Bible for Today Baptist Church in Collingswood, New Jersey. We invite you to visit our church Sundays 10 a.m. and 1:30 p.m. and Thursdays at 8 p.m. If you need more information about our church, our broadcast, or our Savior, please call us toll-free, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. The organist and pianist is Mr. Dick Carroll. Your announcer has been Dr. D.A. Waite, pastor of the Bible for Today Baptist Church. We invite all you ladies to join us for our next broadcast, heard twice weekly over this same station, and hear Yvonne Waite and Just for Women.